Channel 2 over, and beginning of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Saturday night, 13th of November, 71. Channel 2 over, beginning of the visit with Miss Mary and Marvin this Saturday night, 13th of November, 71. Channel 2 over, and beginning of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Saturday night, the 13th of November, 71.
Well, I saw a car out there. I said, well, I don't know if I can stand one more or not. Well, I can stand this. How do you
do?
How
are
you doing?
He's on his feet. I tell you, and he's cussing, Miss Mary.
Is he?
Well, that's good.
Well, now we'll have to do something about that.
Well, that's a sign he's in pretty good shape. Would you have he had some?
Ma'am, we ate and came right on.
Well, bless your heart.
Well, sir,
I told
here.
Marvin, I said, we got to go
y'all
see about the
y'all finish your supper now if you haven't already ate.
We'll just sit here and have some
sit down there, Marvin.
Coffee and some
well, now
wine
we,
and
just,
some...
Just ate.
We couldn't drink no coffee.
And some...
Well, let's celebrate his being on his feet. How about a little glass of wine?
Oh.
I don't know.
Let me tell you, I had a bad time of it.
You did? Well, why didn't you send over here for...
Well...
Let us know something about you being sick.
Well,
and you, your back was out of shape last time.
Yeah, I got this kidney. A prostate...
Is that right?
Infection. And it hit me harder than... I have it, you know, if not. Mm-hmm. It hit me this time. And... Dad burned telephone numbers off the hook. There's a little 10-year-old nigger boy over here that just pleads with it off time. So, folks.
Oh, it's
just
awful.
Yeah.
Well, I'm awesome.
Well, now, I'd think I'd have to report that.
It don't do any good. I called up Live Oak the other day and said, just take me off this line. Just put me on any line.
Private line doesn't cost that much. So what do you on, Southern Bell?
Oh, Lord, no.
Oh, you on that General or something or another like that?
Yeah, it's North Florida.
North Florida.
How long have you been sick?
Oh, since they left.
Well, awful thing is I'm went to Tallahassee. And he got sick when I was gone.
Hmm.
And he didn't have any telephone and couldn't get any doctor. Wait, that was just a tickle.
Well, what in the world did you do? You ought to went to somebody's house and got your telephone and called her.
Well, she was. I am where she was.
You didn't know where she was at?
No.
What'd she do, run away and leave you?
Yes, she just run away and left me. She couldn't call me, you see.
No.
Well, are you getting along all right now?
I've been back on my feet all since Saturday.
Lord, Miss Mary, he was like he was when I came in that night. He's in there on the bed groaning and carrying on.
Yeah, just groaning.
He threw away out the top of the thermometer and...
Don't fix me any wine, no.
He can't drink it.
Can't drink
what
wine.
About you, little sip?
Well, I can, but it makes him deathly sick.
No,
sick.
I can't go with wine.
That's
give him some pure apple vinegar.
No,
no,
that's all right.
Let me tell you what Miss Bessie's told me. I was sitting in the back of the car with my head on the cover. Favorite driving. We stopped down at Bessie's down there. She came out, she hadn't been feeling good. So she was glad to find somebody else that didn't feel good. She says, just wash your face in vinegar.
Did you ever hear that?
Well, I said, I'm willing.
I was just answering her. Go ahead, Eddie.
She said she had been worrying her, and she went to the store and got a quart of pure apple vinegar and washed her face in it. and it picked her up, and she went over at Miss Daisy's to see her trumpet bush.
Hmm.
Well, you know, one time Mr. Guthrie had the toothache, and he went and got some vinegar and rubbed his gum, and he said that tooth never did bother him no more. And you know, when my back was giving me so much trouble, I told Marvin, I said, Mr. Guthrie used it for the toothache, and he said it helped him, and I want you to rub my back with it. And it helped my back.
Oh, I never did believe in it too much. Now there's a book you can get on that stuff.
Marvin, that's too hot for you.
No. No, it's all right.
Well, it don't hurt me. I'm not allergic. Just open the door. I'll open this door.
Whatever y'all say, but it's all right for me.
Is it all right for you?
Yes, sir.
I'm getting long.
I know it is.
I'm getting long fine.
He's not a bit too hot for me.
Oh.
I just
come with, like I was when my sleeves rolled up and everything, and I just got through feeding.
He just come from the cow pen. We sit down, we eat our supper, and I said, we got to go to the Miles. I said, we got to go see Bobby. Suzanne came over and told us that he was sick. And I understood her to say that you had been away.
I just was going to stay a couple of nights when I came back.
Hmm.
I don't know how his kidney knew that I was going to go away.
But that just shows you, you know, how what a fix anybody can get in so quick.
What did you find out about the thing?
Well, there was a colored fellow worked out there pretty close to where I work. He wasn't in my department. But he come over one day, and we got a little old cupboard there. We keep vinegar and spices and just about anything. If we take a notion to cook something, well, we got the stuff to cook it, you know, seasoning. So he said, one of my teeth, he said, he put it that way. He said, it's about to kill me. He said, it's hurt me so bad till I just can't hardly stand it. And I told him, I said, Lee, I says, I want you to try an old remedy that I have heard of, and I believe it will work. So I got him the bottle, and I poured him out some, about that much in a cup. And I said, now, take a swallow and wash your mouth out good with it, and then take another one and wash it out. And he did. And about 5 minutes, he said, you know, he said, my tooth don't hurt no more. I says, it don't? No, he says, I believe I'm going to make it now. Don't believe my tooth don't hurt no more.
Mr. Guthrie said,
I told him, I said, well,
go
on back to work. And he went on back to work. And from then on, well, he quit in about 3 months after that. But from then on, I never did hear anything more about the toothache.
You know, come to think about it, I think I remember hearing about that remedy. But my trouble is, I can't remember them at the right time.
But I can tell you one thing it'll do, and I know it'll do that. You've heard tell of people hemorrhaging at the nose, you know, their nose is bleeding, they couldn't get it stopped.
Yeah.
Just right up there on the, right in the, about the center of the head, take and wet the head good with vinegar and kind of rub it like that there. You'll cut it just like that.
Exactly.
I know that'll work.
You know, people used to have nosebleeds, didn't they?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have had my nose to bleed till it looked like I would bleed to death.
Well, that
and you never
nice
hear tell of anything like that now.
No.
I don't understand it.
I don't either.
I don't. I don't.
I sure don't.
Maybe the people don't have as much blood as they used to have.
Well, I don't think that. I tell you what I think. It could be that too, but people eat different from what they used to when we was kids.
Yeah.
You don't get the pure lard and the salt and vegetables like you used to get, you know, and stuff like that when you was a kid. And you used to eat a lot of bacon, a lot of sausage and stuff like that. Well,
that could be.
I think that has a lot to do with it. I think your diet has a lot to do with it.
Well, you know it does, but I don't know how that would. We brought that up once before, and how did you stop it? How did you stop? How did you? What did you do for it when you was bleeding?
My nosebleed.
Yeah.
I mostly wet my head, you know, with cool water, like that.
Yeah.
Well, when I was a kid, my nose would bleed often, twice a week or sometime, but it never did bleed much, you know, just pour a little bit and quit.
And you put vinegar on top of your head?
Well, I never did. That was when I was a kid. I didn't learn this till I was up in the teens.
I can remember when I'd get hit in the nose.
Yeah.
And they'd say just lean over and slosh cold water on it. And that helped. It also take a little
sort of sound. Well, now, I don't know about getting hit in the nose or something where that vinegar would do any good there or not, but, I mean, just a regular old nose bleed, it'll stop there.
You didn't go to the hospital?
No. Miss Mary, I came in Monday night. Monday, and it was early. And some friends were sitting here in the kitchen who don't usually come out here, but they... Well, because guy was sick. And she said, oh, he's sick, he's so sick, he's so sick. And the telephone's off the hook. And guy was in there, in the bed, moaning and groaning with a high temperature,
yeah.
And he was nauseated, and he was sicker than I ever saw him. And so we turned around four or five times, and we couldn't, it's terrible. They couldn't get anything on the telephone. So I finally went over to... I thought if I was going to have to go somewhere to use a telephone, I'd just go where I could just call straight. So I went over where they had a Southern Bell. And I finally, you try to get a doctor at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, you know.
Yeah, especially.
Especially a urologist, a special one.
Well, that was Monday night, too.
Monday night. So finally I got Dr. Orr, and I said, Dr. Orr, it's terrible to be 20 miles in the country and not have a somebody sick at his stomach and a high temperature, no doctor, no farm, no drugstore open, and no telephone. And he said, well, you got horses, haven't you? I said, I'm going to bring him in. He said, well, you can bring him in. He asked me what was happening. He said, but I know exactly what's wrong with him. You can bring him into the hospital, and we'll do exactly what I'm going to tell you to do. Just go back to the house and dump him in a hot tub of water and make him stay there. And then get to town and get all these prescriptions I'm going to send you. And if by 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning he's still ranting and raving, stuff him in the car and bring him to the hospital. Now, that's the sort of thing I had. But he sent enough stuff out here. You know, to fix him up.
I never had that remedy before. It was supposed to relax the muscle, set in a tub of hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped.
Mm-hmm.
It helped right away.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing. It relieved the muscles. They were nervous or feverish or something like that. And that, you know, he'll do that, won't it?
It sure will.
Yeah, he
I did that. I lay in the water.
Uh-huh.
When I was, some woman that was going to Dr. Gibney told Morgan that that's what she did, and so I did it every night and morning, and it just gave me the most relief.
Well, that's what he said, too. He said that's what they do with him if he was at the hospital. And then in addition, give him all this medicine.
Mm-hmm. Did you go on in and get the medicine?
No, he said, don't you leave him. So we had these friends who were out here, they went in and got it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good thing. Why is it as open all night long?
Well, it's usually they take term about, so I understand in Gainesville. It's always one open all night.
Uh-huh.
And always one open Sunday, all day and all night, Sunday night.
Yeah.
But you usually have to look in the paper or something to find.
Is that right?
The right one. That's the way it was at one time. Now, I don't know how they run it now.
Well, this doctor knew that Wise's was open all night. So he said, that's what he said. But we sure were scared.
the weekend, I had two detached retinas. One was on the 4th of July, and the next one was on Saturday, and I swore I wouldn't get the doctor there, and I had lost my eye. That's when you tear your eye.
Mm-hmm.
And I waited till Monday morning to go down there. And what I should have done was go right in Saturday and been in Miami to see my morning person. And I never have anything during the week.
This happened Sunday night.
Now, you're not as bad as I am. You have something wrong with you during the week, don't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you always wait long till the weekend.
Yeah. Just square dab in the weekend.
That's the way my horses do. If they're going to have colic, they'll have it on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought
yeah.
Missy had a little colic on Saturday night. Like always.
But your family's mending.
Yeah.
Ain't that nice?
That's wonderful. It's better than nice.
I went in to see him today. He told me to come back. Today is every 2 weeks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was going to try to wean me off of my medicine. And he told me what not to take and what to take. He wanted me to still keep on my little green capsules. And take 2 green tablets a day and take my high blood pressure medicine. Leave all the rest of that off and you won't see how I'm going to get along.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, nobody don't know what Dr. Gibney's done for me.
Boy.
That's amazing.
But I eat just like an elephant. I don't never get enough to eat. I can eat all the time.
Why, Marvin, what you going to do with it?
I don't know.
You know, he told me the other day. He told me that today was a week ago. He said, you will not eat that much. I told Dr. Gibney, I said, Dr. Gibney, I got a raving appetite. I just eat. He said, well, just don't overdo it. But I overdo it. And I just can't help it. And I drink milk.
There was something
like
she bought.
I like
she
chocolate milk.
She makes her own chocolate milk and drink it.
Mm-hmm.
It was something you bought and.
It's a laxative.
No, I was talking about that you eat up from me. What
was
that?
Strawberry buns.
Bought one and.
It was a
for
platter.
Lunch, and I sat down and got one and sat down. Eat it and had to get up. And I don't remember for what, and I come back and it was all gone.
Well, Mark. You mean it was a plan of that?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I done eat 2 great big pieces of steak. And I don't know how many biscuits. He got up to go fix the boat. We were going to Suwannee River and ride.
I knew I got up for something.
And
I
when
don't
he
really
come back,
remember.
The buns was gone. And he said, you are not eating.
Well, I tell you, Mark, you're just going to have to eat them before she gets to them.
I'm
just going to have to eat my share before I get up and go try something else.
I'm going to have to quit eating so much, sir.
Well, let me tell you, you know, every time I think of eating, I think of such food. And I look at this stuff here. There's no taste to that. It's just like eating a horse feed or cow feed or something like that. Now, you wouldn't put that stuff on your table. So, you see, I just eat enough to sort of satisfy the pangs. And I don't overeat. But, you know, I think very often, I'll just go over there to Mary Townsend's and sit down with them. They won't notice the difference. And just sit down and eat and enjoy it. That's the truth. I think of that all the time.
Well, why don't you do it?
Well, I have done it.
Oh.
Just a number of times.
I'll tell you, for 5 days he couldn't eat.
See?
And now, then, you see, he's likely to come over to your house.
Now, what did you have for supper?
I had some hot biscuits, and I had some rice and some beefsteak.
Yeah.
And,
cake.
Yes, a cake.
But you had the beefsteak.
And
right.
Coffee.
That's right.
She used to wouldn't drink coffee, now she can't get enough of coffee.
What in the world?
Used to cut, wouldn't drink a half a cup, now she drinks two, don't you? Most of the time.
Most of the time I do, and sometimes I drink three. It's just my appetite. It's something or another I'm taking. Maybe I'll get off of that medicine and maybe...
Well, it's good to have a good appetite.
My appetite will decrease. I'm taking some... Mrs. Bliss told me to go and get me some M-E-T-U-C-U-A-L. And it's a cereal-like. And you use it with orange juice, apple juice, or anything you put on
it.
Tablespoonful, and yes, I like it. You don't have to have any trouble. It's just your bowels just acts just normal, you know, and you don't have a bit of trouble. And it could be that it might be a wheat germ.
Well, that's what it amounts to. Some kind of vegetables all in.
But it is really a good medicine. You're just as normal. You don't have to take no laxatives or anything. And she told me about it.
You can only pick it up at the drugstore, though.
Did I tell you that her sister died?
Yeah.
And Jimmy's wife's daddy died yesterday.
You told me that.
Oh, really?
She was going to Georgia, and Carter and Lillian was going to Wildwood.
Who is Jimmy?
Mrs. Gleason's
grandson.
Son.
That's the boy that lives in the brick home. That's is his son.
Carter.
He's Carter's son. He's a county agent down in where in not Marion County.
No, he's
he
in Tallahassee.
Is he in Tallahassee now?
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy is?
Mm-hmm.
I know he was in Marion one time, but I thought he had moved. And
no, he's in Tallahassee, so Miss Wilson says.
Now, what happened to him?
His wife's daddy died yesterday.
Daddy. Nothing happened to him?
No. Not that we know of.
Now, he don't have but one boy, does he?
That's all.
Well, he's the one I used to talk to down there.
Mm-hmm.
He used to give me misinformation with a cheerfulness.
Yeah, he can do that.
You know, when they talk with such confidence, you're liable to just go along with them. And it was way past. I asked him about somebody down there that sold, for the coastal. You can put out the grass, or else you can dig it in the winter and put out the roots. And he said they didn't do that anymore. Well, one of the big operators is right down there in Marion County.
Why, sure. He said they didn't do that anymore.
Yes.
Well, what do they do?
Well, they do. They do.
Well, why he said that?
You tell me. I have no idea. And told me with such confidence. Yes, sir.
Well, you know, they have found a few seed that coastal seed now that will germinate. I mean, it's high enough germination to come up.
Yeah.
But I think they only about 40% at the most.
You know, how do you like living in that new house?
New painted?
That night, last night we were over there. It seemed just like a new place.
It did.
And
it
all sure you've done was painted so far, wasn't it?
A little bit on the inside.
Yes.
I want to get able to kind of spruce it up a little bit on the outside. That's what most of the people sees it.
Now, this was some of your kinfolks.
That was my sister's husband and one of my nephews. He done the painting. But they usually come higher than the painter. They usually come higher than the regular painter.
Of course,
I reckon that's what they are, but...
You mean the kinfolks?
Oh, yeah.
Come higher than the
rest. Yeah, they don't mind.
Isn't that funny? Your kin folks, if you got something and they want it, they think you ought to give it to them. But you let them do something for you. That me. That's mine. Now, you just wouldn't never know. You would never believe it if I was to tell you what I had done for them. And how much they charged me for painting inside of my house.
Tell me.
It was $166.
Just for the painting?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's not the paint.
Yeah, they
furnished the paint.
And mixed the colors.
That's right.
I didn't see it the daytime. I want to see the colors.
I'm going to get me some curtains, but I don't care whether I get any or not. It'll make any difference to me.
Well, it's pretty like it is. But you figured that was a little high.
I know it was.
Well, let me tell you.
Looks to me like they could have done it for us a little cheaper, as much as we've done for them.
Well, now, what all have you done for them?
What all have I done for them? Well, I raised Eugene. We kept him in the hospital about 2 weeks and paid his doctor bill. Yeah. And, oh goodness, I couldn't tell you what all I have done for him. Used to buy him school clothes and send him to school. Feed him. Furnished him a home till he got grown.
I hadn't heard of him. I hadn't heard you speak
of him. That's Curtis's brother, oldest
brother. Oh. Well, sir. She ought to have a lot of people take care of her in her old age, Mother. Looks like it works the other way around.
Yeah,
she's going to have to take care of them.
It usually happens that
way. He knows it. He knows it. There's the boat nights up there that I've sat up there all night long with them, with Louise having her babies and taking care of her. And the only one of them never come about me. I never see one of them. That's the boat nights that lives up there by Miss Dodd's.
Well, do they ever go around anybody?
Oh, yeah. They go to Miss Dodd's.
Well, that's the truth.
Mr. Dodd, he goes up there and he cuts her little grass out of the yard for them and kisses her tail.
He goes up there and cuts the grass for
them. Yeah, you ought to go out there and see how he mows all out down to the plum trees.
I didn't know he had any extra time.
I don't see where he finds it, but he does. There's a guy called me last night, I guess it was, from Gaines. I can't think of his name right now. And he had heard that we had been talking about selling some property. And then wanted to know how much it was, and I told him, wanted to know what we were going to get for it. I told him what we'd love to get for it, and he said it was a little bit steep. For him, at least. Do you remember what I told you his name was?
$600.
His name was?
No, I don't.
Yeah, I know what I told him, but I could have come down a little bit, but he didn't give me the chance. Now you would like to start at the top, so if I have to come down, you know, if you ever start, you can't go up. You got to come down.
That's right. It's a lot to go up.
Yeah. Well, sometimes I think we can't afford not to.
Oh, you can't get it back again.
No, that's for sure.
You can't get it back, and then if you sell it, the government will get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, just any way you look at it, well, you're not going to make anything. Make
so
a whole
there just
lot
ain't
of
no use to sell it. Louise sent a realtor to the house yesterday.
Oh.
And, his name was Blackwell. And he really wanted it. He said that it sure was a nice piece of property and he sure would like to get it. And I told him, yeah. But I don't want it in no realtor's hands.
Well, I tell you, them fellas, they make a lot of money on you, 10%. And you say, well, I wouldn't take less than $500 an acre for it. There's no use talking anything less than that because I wouldn't take it. I would take five. All right, $500 an acre, that's what, a little better than $75,000. Well, you figure 10% of $75,000 and he's going to get his first.
Yeah,
and you're gonna and we're
and
gonna have a lawyer. We're gonna have a lawyer.
Some about $8,000
to tend to it, and he's gonna get his cut out.
Then you're
of
gonna
it.
Have to have a lawyer to take care of the rest of it, the notes and everything. So he's gonna have to have part of it. Then Uncle Sam, he's gonna have to have part of it. So,
a big part of it.
I figure we'll get about a tenth of what it brings.
Isn't that something?
That's something.
So we'd be just as well off.
That man said he could sell it. He could sell it for $500 an acre in 6 months. But if he's going to get $8,000 out of it, and the lawyer will get somewhere around, well, his will be going, you know. You'll have to hire him about a year because your notes would be coming in. And he'd get somewhere around $2,000-$3,000 a year, not less than that. And then I don't remember what they got it valued at. The face value out there is somewhere around $200. If you got five, you'd have to pay back taxes on $300 for what it is. What is it, 1 or 2 years? I don't remember which. Man. On the balance of what they had, what they've got it valued at.
Oh, that's right. You have to pay them back.
Well, that's right. I don't remember. They told me one time, but I believe it's 1 year, the last year, you know.
You know, you've got to be a money handler before you can come out on that.
Yeah, you might be right.
Turning your property.
Yeah. And somebody said, well, go ahead and sell it and invest it. Well, what's used to get one, rid of one headache and get another?
Yeah, that's right. Did you ever think you'd live to see anything like that?
Well, I think no. $75,000 sounds pretty big.
It sounds big, but you get thinking about it, and it's just a little bit because you got to divide it up so many ways.
Yeah, try and get it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as long as that man keeps interest up on that money, you cannot foreclose on him either.
Well, is that right?
That's right.
Even if he doesn't pay the principal.
If he never pays any principal and just keeps interest on it, you can't foreclose. At least they can't. I say they can't on agricultural property. You might could. I don't know about that. But now fish camps, as long as they keep that interest on that money and pay that, they cannot foreclose.
Well, that's a new one.
Oh,
Wouldn't that be something?
Is that the Dunham place you're talking
about? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how much is it?
155 acres.
Yeah. Oh, that's a beautiful place for that. And the way it's better than where you are.
Yes, well, the man that called me was thinking Louise had told him about place was going to be, we had talking about selling one place, and he understood it was the place we was living on. That's one he was more interested yeah. in, because he told me.
That would just be off the road a little bit more, I don't think. Depend on whether you want to be on the road or off of it.
That's right.
No, sir, but that paint, that new paint, that freshens things up, Faye. I wished I had the energy to paint a little bit myself. I hadn't painted in so long, I'm ashamed of
that. You know, that's hard work, isn't it?
It is.
And I washed old jalousies and windows.
Yes.
And, you know, that just like to have killed me. I was just so worried. I told Dr. Gibney last Saturday. The last time I was down there before today, I had been trying to clean old windows, old jalous. And he says, you know, that's hard work.
Yeah.
It is hard work.
Yeah.
And washing walls, me and Marvin got in there in the kitchen last Sunday, and all around my stove, you know, where I cook was greasy, and I can't get up there, and I got him to take the window screen down and help me clean. And we washed the wall, and there's a board up there just as black as smut, it looks like.
Well, I told her I would get that, but I just haven't had time to get to it.
Yeah.
First one, and then another thing happens.
Yeah.
We got to go in the men's pants or something else.
Yeah.
I know, and you keep such clean house.
No, I don't.
Do.
No, ma'am, I don't. My house is. I know how to keep it off.
Well, you know, I'd get along fine myself with my feet, but my feet just gives me plenty of trouble.
Well, just don't say anything about it.
I didn't know. How long has that been?
Yeah, they've given me trouble quite a while. But it burns so bad under the bottoms. The soles of my feet burn so bad.
A year or two?
No, I guess it's been about a year, maybe, off and on.
Yeah.
Doesn't last all the time.
Well, you're not on concrete or anything like that.
Well, I am out in the shop, but I don't stay out there on concrete all the time.
Yeah. Well, now, I've never been on concrete much, but they tell me, like around these service stations, you just got to wear special shoes on that concrete, or else your feet will...
Have you heard anything from the dogs?
No.
You know, I called her last Monday, it was a week ago, and I said, what's wrong with your telephone? I said, why can't you call me once in a while? She ain't called me yet.
What? No.
She never calls me.
I don't know. Well, she never calls us, does she?
Okay. No, I never called her either, so it's fair and square over here. I have... I think very often I just love to call over there and see how they get along. Oh, Mr. Dodd is he's so healthy. Nothing wrong with him.
No.
But now, she's a little different.
Well, he gets sick once in a while. And then there's always some of them children sick.
Always.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember. I haven't seen Suzanne except just in passing. She said you all went to town one day. Is that right?
She and I did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's been a while ago. She wasn't over here today?
Yeah, but I didn't see her. She just, you know, passed through, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of people around. Was plowing a little bit.
The guy was resting, and she was sort of afraid to disturb him.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the house, rather.
Oh, they always like that, you know. They're afraid they'll disturb somebody. was trying to think. Something happened on that trip, and I forget what it was. And she said, you talked about all the way home. And I thought at the time, well, I'd asked you about it.
Well, I don't know what it was. It could have been.
Let me see. It was when you was going through the cash register. You ran into somebody. Somebody. Now you see, this is preposterous.
Yeah.
Somebody with 14 children. And I keep picturing, you didn't run across anybody with 14 children going through the line, had you?
Oh, I know what it was. It was a colored woman.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she had such a basket. Two baskets full of groceries.
Two of them?
Just piled up. And I mean weenies on top of weenies.
Oh.
And just like 3 and 4 bags of potatoes. And different packages of meat and stuff. And I said, you sure must have a family. And she said, there's 14 in the family.
Oh.
And she had stamps to buy that stuff with.
These are
oh, yeah.
Welfare stamps, I guess that's what we call them, and buy them, you know.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was just amazing, the groceries that she had. Why, she just had weenies, just stacks of weenies. And bread, and cheese, not one package of macaroni, but just several. And it just, you know, just, I thought maybe she's running a store. She said she had 14 children.
With the government stamps she bought.
And that's right. Paid with the government stamps. And there was a girl with her. Looked like she was just before having one. That's what it.
And you ran that. You just ran into that.
Yeah, we just ran into that, and there just so many groceries. My goodness, I couldn't help but say something. I said, "You sure must have a big family." She said, "It's 14."
Maybe she was like them was out there on East Gainesville. So I heard about it. I don't know. It might not be true. But they said told it for the truth that this family living here and another one living here, just a street between them.
Yeah.
Colored people, and they. One of them didn't have a couple of children, and the other had about a house full. So this welfare worker went in the first house. She didn't have but two children, but anyway, she borrowed her neighbor's children to come over. And the welfare worker says, is all these your children? Said, yes, and they are. I said, every one of them. So she gave her a pretty good handout and went on over to the other fellas, and they beat her around and went in there. She said she thought she'd seen them before and said, is these your children? Every one of them. Says, well, I thought I seen them over there a while ago. Said, yes, and she borrowed them from me.
I think so.
So that was... That might have been the way that was.
Yeah.
She might have borrowed some.
you didn't have any handouts when you were coming along.
Now that is right.
And part of your time, things was close back in the 30s.
Well,
I mean,
there wasn't
close.
Any welfare then. There just wasn't any.
When I was growing up, I didn't get no help. Me and my brother and my sister didn't get no help from nobody.
28, all through the 30s, just about, what was it, 36, 35, 36, I guess.
Yes, sir. things were close in. I know that. I know that myself. They were. And what you raised, you didn't get anything for. That put a lot of people out of business.
Yes, sir. When I was just a small kid, your daddy let me plant my squash patch. I didn't have about 3 rows, I guess. We were living on that Rochelle. And I shipped them things by express to Snyder. It was a J.H. Snyder in New York. And I got it done back for 2 cents. They wanted 2 cents to help pay the postage or the freight on the express on them. Up there.
Well, one reason you all got through the cities was you didn't raise, you all didn't truck farm much.
No, sir, we didn't.
You had cattle.
That's right.
And you butchered beef every now and then.
We had plenty to eat. We had plenty to eat. Mr. Guthrie always had a good garden. He raised plenty of vegetables. We had meat. We had beef and we had meat for our own hogs. We didn't have no money, but we ate good. And he always made plenty of sweet potatoes.
Oh, did he?
Yes, sir.
That'll get you through.
Now he could naturally raise tomatoes and sweet potatoes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them gets through the summer, the other gets through the winter.
That's right. He had plenty to eat as long as he was able to go. And he had always had him a good garden.
Sweet potatoes just about last you the year round.
Well, if you can keep them, they got to where they won't keep so good.
But now it's got to where you can't raise cars for the worms. I got a few cars, and they just
time,
eat them up.
Is
that right?
Oh, potatoes has got to where so if you can keep them 6 months, you're doing good. You used to keep them year round.
Now, I don't understand that.
I think it's due to the fertilizer, maybe
yeah,
it's been used or something.
Yeah.
Much potash or something. No.
Well, now, but you never did any real hard work outdoors.
Me?
Yes.
Oh, yes, I have. You just don't know what I have done. I sure have.
Outdoor work?
Yes, sir.
I mean, just real hard work?
Real hard work. Me and Marvin went down on the railroad. I ought to have a beating for doing it over there near the Turner place. The section foreman took out some ties, and he gave them to us for fence post. And I helped him get them ties off of that railroad and haul them cross ties home. And I've helped him cut posts in River Stick Swamp and waded that mud and brought out 2 posts at a time, one on my shoulder and one under my arm.
Miss Mary?
That's right,
Mother. That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I've helped him build a fence. Marvin's built enough a fence to fence in the state of Florida.
Well, Marvin.
I have put up several miles of fence.
He put up he fenced from home to Cross Creek before he ever went into the Army.
And then fenced it twice since I've been back.
And I decided that I didn't want it and I cut it out. And we went and took up the fence. After he come back.
All that fence you see around that block there and the lots of it on the inside, I put it there.
Well,
on both sides of the road.
That's right.
What?
And then there's a whole lot of fence over there back of the Turner place.
That's right. It don't take too long to put up a mile of fence if you got everything right there. ready to go.
And I know one thing, there's a lot of tricks you can put up on one little place if you just keep at it.
You mighty right.
You wouldn't realize, you wouldn't believe how much I put up here, this place here.
Well, I'll tell you what I have done, and it'll work pretty good to do it. I put up for a four-strand barbed wire fence and put the post in it. I stretched four strands, put the post in, and nailed the staples in the post a quarter of a mile, a little better than a quarter of a mile a day. One man. That's pretty good work there. And then I fenced halfway across Orange Lake one time.
How come you do that?
Well, the lake went down, you know, so dry, and the cows were going around, and just had to follow it up. It was about, well, we started on the hill and come across what we call Pine Island. That marsh there was about three quarters of a mile of it. And I made a curve and come around after I hit the where the cliff supposed to be, made a curve and come about another quarter. That was about a mile, actually about a mile of lake bottom in there that I fenced.
What you use for wire?
And barbed wire.
Bought it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course, you didn't have to pay the prices for what you're paying now.
No, but you didn't have the money, guys.
That's right, too.
You know, a lot of people are always able to pick up used wire that's still usable, but I never have been able to.
Well, I don't like it. We've done that. I mean, we never did buy any, but, you know, we bought wire and then put it up and decided that we wanted to move in a couple of years or so, but it really doesn't pay. Is if you pull it very tight, it'll break the stretches all out of it. You put up the fence in the wintertime, and you stretch it tight, fairly tight in the winter. Then in the summertime, it's just right. But you stretch it tight in the summertime, and when the winter hits it, it'll break it just as sure as it hits it if it's stretched tight, because it shrinks it. Time to put up fences is when it's good and cloudy and, you know, cool.
Yeah.
Around 60-degree weather is a good time to put up fence wire.
Yeah.
You can stretch it tight then. You're all right.
Yeah. With this wire that I get, I don't think it would work even then. Notice we didn't need to spend on the washboard. Right. I got you get a little breath of air, Marvin.
Okay.
That'd be good.
We got to. We going.
Oh, you don't.
Yeah, we need
this
to go.
This has done
on.
Him more good. Mm-hmm.
Well,
we need. I sure was. If I couldn't have got the, I had to call from Tallahassee. If I couldn't have got this boy to come over here, you'd have probably got a telephone call to come over and see about it. But you know, you just felt terrible. And the people that we know down here that were out of town, you know, that I could call them.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, Daisy or Bessie, none of these people have telephones. And
Channel 2 over around, I'd say 800. Channel 2 over around 800. And the end of this, the continuation of the visit with Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Saturday night, the 13th of November, 71. Channel 2 over around 800 or 900, I'm guessing. And the end of the visit with Miss Mary and Marvin this Saturday, this night at supper, the 13th of November, 71.